If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is our new release show on One Heat Minute Productions, where I'm joined by great friends and like film critics and critical voices to talk about new release movies. This one I missed on the big screen in Australia, devastatingly. I don't know what the hell was going on in my life this time. Might have been school holidays here, being a parent, all that sort of stuff. And so here I am with my great friend, Isaac Feldberg. Ridiculous talent that he is. You see him lots at Letterboxd Journal. He just held up the cover story for Send Help on Fangoria, where he talked to the great Sam Raimi. And we're here to talk about Send Help, starring Rachel McAdams, Dylan O'Brien, for a variety of reasons, sitting down for most of the movie. I want you guys to listen to the trailer, and then we'll sort of debrief on the plot, and we'll talk about this incredibly full bozo gonzo wackadoo scream of a good time of a movie that Send Help is. Here's the trailer.
I'm going to be frank with you. You are smart. I know that you are great with numbers, but I just don't think you got it. As an executive, I see no value in you. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry, what?
You know we have the Bangkok merger coming up. Prove me wrong. Oh, Linda, before you go, I forgot to mention I've received a few complaints about you.
Complaints?
Noxious odors.
Oh, God. Yes.
Take your seats, you little bitch.
Who's joined the land of the living?
How long?
Have you been out? Day and a half?
Have you tried making a distress signal?
Or a bigger fire?
I was busy trying to keep us alive.
But getting us out of here, that should be your focus. Not being Susie Homemaker over here.
What did you just say to me?
Let's not forget, I'm your boss. You work for me.
We're not in the office anymore, Bradley. No help is coming. You just have to accept that this is how things are now. Here, Hunt. I think I like it. You are stuck with an asshole boss. Just like I was. Although I'm betting I am a much nicer boss than you ever would have been. Except for maybe this part. I don't think we should ever leave.
Okay, so in case you didn't hear it, Dylan O'Brien is this really nepo shitbag of a guy who's taken over as CEO of like a financial company. His company is about to go through a merger. And one of the, I guess, core people at that place of work, one of the sort of unsung heroes in that office, is a lady by the name of Linda Little. L-I-D-D-L-E, played by Rachel McAdams. And she's been kind of with his now dearly departed father, who's left and sort of bequeathed the company to him. She was sort of like the secret weapon of their company. And he looks over her because, you know, he's a sort of a golf rich douche who wears like impractically suede shoes and has like a bromance with one of the great cinematic douches, and I can say I'm so proud that he's Australian, Xavier Samuel, one of the great cinematic douches of all time. There's no one that can douche like Xavier Samuel. And they have to go on a company trip to Singapore to close a deal. They bring Linda along as sort of like a an olive branch after she's overlooked for a promotion. And their plane crashes out in some archipelago in the Thailand Islands, which was shot in Australia. And only two survivors are there, Rachel McAdams, Dylan O'Brien. And it just so happens that Linda Little, much like one of my best mates, Chris, shout out to Chris, is a survivor obsessive and just happens to love the show and has researched about a whole bunch of things so that they could be the perfect contestant on Survivor. And so a lot of madness ensues on an island with two people trying to survive, one trying to just actually survive the crash and one trying to orchestrate their own little island getaway in Rachel McAdams, Linda Little. Isaac, why is this movie so goddamn fun? It has no right to be as much of a joy as it is. What have you kind of triangulated on after communicating with both Sam Raimi, Rachel McAdams, and seeing the film?
I mean, I just have to say, and that was quite the introduction to Send Help, because it is a film that you are just giddy talking about, because you're giddy watching it. You're gleeful watching it because you're seeing Sam Raimi back being gross, being ridiculous,
yes.
Putting you know more bodily fluids, horrific juices into the film, into the story than you would ever imagine possible. And he is just, you know, sucking out the marrow of this survival horror thriller that initially starts in something as buttoned up as a corporate office and ends up on this sun-scorched, like, flesh-flaying tete-a-tete between two actors who we do not know to be horror actors. No. And I think that the element of surprise here, of Sam Raimi coming back to this kind of Hell's a Poppin' horror vehicle, and bringing Rachel McAdams, who he's fishing out of the uncanny valley of a Doctor Strange sequel, to come and portray this, you know, strategy and planning expert for this kind of completely anonymous financial services company. And he's bringing out of her, and she's unleashing this performance that, you know, you could say it's inspired by the character being an avid fan of the TV show Survivor. But it was funny, even speaking with Rachel McAdams for this Fangoria feature, her reference point is not Survivor, but the TV show Alone. Have you ever seen?
Yes, I have seen Alone.
She's obsessed with Alone, which is kind of tells you everything about Rachel McAdams in a nutshell, that she wants the true hardcore survivalist show. She doesn't want the group psychology
trial and
social experiment. That she wants, you know, someone who is completely on their own, dealing with that loneliness and that kind of need to be self-sufficient. And we're just kind of watching the deterioration over time. That's what she enjoys watching when she turns in for the evening in presumably her mansion somewhere in LA. So, you know, you've got, you know, an actress who is on that wavelength, and you've got her going up against, you know, Dylan O'Brien being, you know, as you're saying quite rightly, the most eminently punchable douchebag that you could ever have the misfortune of ending up working for. I can't imagine ever taking a job at a financial management company where this guy's in charge, but he's like the nightmare of someone who you wake up one day and he's your boss.
Yes.
And she just gets to, you know, be capable as shit around him in a setting where he's actually going to notice it. And so you've got this script, which, you know, was not the Sam Raimi script. It was a script by written on spec by two guys, Damien Shannon and Mark Swift.
Yeah.
Mark Swift. Yeah. And so, and that script is such a great, you know, bear trap. It reminds me of when Alexander Aja directed Crawl a few years ago from a spec script by Sean and Michael Rasmussen, who, you know, were just kind of brought it to the table. And then Aja kind of came in and did this, extraordinary job elevating that material into being a film that had every kind of brilliant signature of his filmography around something that just really works on a structural level and really works on a story level. Send Help very similarly just sets its stakes perfectly, builds its characters smartly, and then just unleashes the glory of Sam Raimi on them. And I just I have to say everything about this movie for me is in the scene where Linda is hunting a boar in
Yes.
the forest of this island, because however horrible you think that boar is going to look, it's just like 10 times grosser. It's 10 times gooier than you think it's going to be.
Linda hunting a boar scene, not to spoil really anything in the movie, but there's just this moment where like she hunts the boar, she's going through this process, and just the continually unexpected turns in that, and like you underestimate Linda even though she's extremely capable, and the way that she goes about it, and then that boar scene is just so gnarly. Like in every, like I think parents can understand this as well. Like there's times where your kids will like be sick up into your face, or like you hear about these stories where like they sneeze it in your open mouth or whatever, and it's just like there's a level of grossness, a tactile level of grossness sometimes when you're a parent that you're like, yeah, I can see this. And it's like every like Raimi's like got a particular giddy joy that he undertakes people having disgusting fluids splattered on their face and often into their open screaming mouths in this movie that just made me laugh
In
like
every
an idiot.
movie, you
I
can
was
say it.
in every movie, but in
Yeah.
this movie particularly, it made me laugh so
Yeah.
much. It just made me laugh because when it's with Dylan O'Brien, like with Linda Little's character, Rachel McAdams' character, it's so brilliant because she's like defiant. She's like she's almost in a state of becoming like the sort of internal visualization of her like heroic, I can survive alone in the wilderness self. And Dylan O'Brien gets to play sort of pansy freak out moments, and it's just there's some scenes in this movie I don't want to spoil, but there's a scene in this movie where Linda rescues Dylan O'Brien, and as a reward for her rescuing, there's vomit, and it's just the. This, I just had such a scream with this. It was so funny because it is that this weird and kind of weird relationship that does such a brilliant tempo modulation and sort of empathy modulation between the characters. Sometimes he's insufferable. Sometimes you feel like he's kind of growing. Then Linda, the dark sides of Linda sort of come out, and then you empathize with her, and they play you like a fiddle in the movie when they want you to be played like a fiddle. But it, I can totally say, and I won't spoil anything, is that the conclusion of this movie is why it has the ridiculous great word of mouth that it does, because people are like, I want to go back and enjoy that
That
again.
ride.
I want to
Yeah.
see that ride because I know that how it ended, and the ride is so good that it's just like incredible, incredible.
And you've got like, also just the skill, the confidence, and the ease of Raimi with so many of his frequent collaborators, really just firing on all cylinders. You can almost hear them all cackling behind the monitor as they're kind of filming certain scenes. Like Bob Murawski, has been his editor for so long, and you get some of the best, most kind of devilish match cuts had in Raimi's filmography in this movie. And you get I didn't, you don't always think about a score being able to be tongue in cheek, but Danny Elfman is right there, and I'm laughing at some of the cues that he's orchestrating in this film because they're so perfectly calibrated to complement the visual effects, to get you inside of both kind of the jeering and sniveling that you're kind of like seeing from Dylan O'Brien's character, and the kind of you were saying playing the audience like a fiddle, but just the kind of the bowstring tension of what's going on inside Rachel McAdams' head at different
Yes.
points. You can feel Elfman really keying into that so perfectly. And so you get that, you get a script that surprisingly in a lot of ways, it just plays those beats and has variations on things that Raimi has done in the past in just the right sort of level of ironic exaggeration
Yes.
that it does something different to it. I think about the fact that A Simple Plan,
Yeah.
one
Great
of his best
example.
films,
Oh, what a great film.
it starts with a plane crash, and it's all about the people who kind of have to kind of deal with what that does to their dynamic after, walking away from this plane crash. You get in this film the plane crash that he didn't have the budget to film in A Simple Plan, nor really the need to, given the kind of the tenor of that film. But you get an exuberant plane crash sequence that also feels like what he wanted to do all along with the tornado sequence in the Oz the Great and Powerful. Like,
Yes.
it's like, and so you feel like you're getting Raimi unleashed from the IP jails a little bit. But you're getting Raimi also, putting the Evil Dead cam on the boar
Yeah.
and tearing through the forest. And you're getting, Raimi kind of, dealing with this kind of, this posturing of Rachel McAdams is like, is she super heroic or super villainous in different places in a way that I think plays with the tensions that he's done with this kind of myth making of character in his superhero films as well. And there's just so many little flourishes in there where you can feel him winking at you, but also having that utter sincerity about being disgusting that makes him such a great film.
I love that turn of phrase. The utter sincerity of being disgusting is so correct. Yeah, no, I think Rachel McAdams' performance is amazing. I think it reminded me less of a horror performance and more of like the best deadpan comedy performance you've ever seen. Like I reminded of her in Game Night. I think people forget the monumental at a young age delivery of, Regina George Mean Girls' performance, which is huge. So it shows her
Absolutely.
acting timing is just phenomenal. And they use that. It's all the same. It's like putting the comedic sensibility and beats and that impulse to be disgusting in the hands of a thriller. It is like it's that unpredictability and timing and the turn of phrase and the turn and the action and a reaction to something that you think is completely antithetical that just works every time. It's like, what is the craziest possible, like, non-reflex reaction you would expect from Linda in any given moment, and it's there on the platter for you. And I think exactly as you said, it's like the big set piece sequences, because when you're sort of marooning a bunch of people onto an island or two people onto an island, and you're like, all right, here we go. Here's the story. You kind of do want the set pieces to really sing. And I loved that plane sequence, if not for like the idea that people sheer panic, like that, like on the plane sequence, the sheer panic of the people that are on the plane as it's going down and all the craziness that happens. It's so gleeful and delightful and again, horrifically disgusting that and like it ever and just putting in bodies and flash it just oh in this movie, like I watched it late at night. And sometimes with me when I'm watching something at home, like that isn't, if I'm pretty exhausted, like I may just like I'll watch it for 10 or 15 minutes and I might just go, look, I've got to start it again. I'll start it again tomorrow night. I'm not in the right headspace for it. And I reckon it was better than any late night coffee because like I started watching this and within like 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, there's absolutely no chance that my eyes are going to wane in this movie. I can't get enough. It's brilliant. So I just want to emphatically say if you missed it at the theaters, you must get your hands on it in some way, shape, or form, whether it's physical media. I think there's a great 4K coming very shortly. So get your hands on that. If you can't wait, like me, I'm probably going to buy the 4K now, but I absolutely just bought it on video on demand immediately. I was like, I have to watch this right now.
Got to replay it again and again.
I
Just that
just.
last position cut with the golf club, you need to play that again
Oh
and
my.
again and again
No,
on the.
the boar scene, the surf rescue. Like I when I was a kid, I was in surf lifesaving, and they would always tell you, there's a concern about people if they've been underwater, they're going to be sick when you're trying to help them and look after them. So you'd have like little masks when you're doing, CPR practices and things like that, or if there was a real situation. Just the surf rescue scene in this is like I was howling. It's one of the best. I'll never forget that image. It's just one of my favorite images ever, and I'll never look at Mango Chutney in the same way. And yeah, it's great. It's great talking to you about it. I love this movie. It's so good. I like just give Sam
Oh,
Raimi
it's
a few
such
million dollars to just forever and spec scripts and just go and play with great actors in the brush. Why wouldn't you? For God's sake.
To the point of like, just giving him the money to go do this, I do think it's funny that, when Sam Raimi is making the Spider-Man movies, Lauren Shuler Donner's assistant on as the producer on that film is, Kevin Feige. It's like, the guy
Yes.
who'll end up later f hiring him years and years later to make Multiverse of Madness. And similarly, like, his former assistant was J.R. Young, who then became the head at Ghost House Pictures at Raimi's company, and then left Ghost House and went to 20th Century, at 20th Century Fox, and now at 20th Century Studios, he was Raimi's boss on this movie. And it's like, so there's a reading of that that is, Sam Raimi has always been really nice to his assistants.
Yes.
And so they are really nice to him and supportive of his pictures, which is, and I have every reason to believe I've only heard great things about Sam Raimi as a professional. There's also the funny angle of waking up one day and realizing that this like shit
That's your
is
boss.
suddenly pulling the strings of Hollywood, and you have no choice but to kind of lean on your extensive experience of how to survive that to deal with all of their whims and
That's a beautiful reading. That makes me just want to
it's just
watch it
I love that
again.
it's both. I love
It's
that it's both. Yeah.
so good. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening. Isaac, thank you. It's always the best talking to you, my friend. It's any excuse to chat. But I love that you love this movie. I love that you did those pieces. I might try and get my hands on that Fangoria mag because that would be cool to have on the shelf. But holy dooly, guys, send help. It's a scream. And I watched it late at night by myself, and I wish I was in a theater, or I wish I was with a bunch of people. Like, if you need a fun movie for your friends late at night and you want to have a howl at something, and especially if you're a Survivor fan, man alive, you must watch Send Help. So good. I'm gonna get some mango chutney.